Well, good afternoon. First of all, I just want to have just a couple comments, just open up. First of all, talk about free agency, what we've done here in the last couple of days. First of all, I got to thank Jeffrey Lurie for obviously giving us the resources and the ability to do what we do. Howie Roseman for the job he did with selecting and gathering the information on these players that we brought in. We're so excited. We added six great players to our roster, guys that are going to help us, guys are going to help us win a championship and help us moving forward. Leotis McKelvin, a cornerback, really excited about having him here. Rodney McLeod, great player, safety, opportunity to shore up that secondary here. And Ron Brooks, another secondary cornerback position that really gives us some nice depth there in the secondary. So really looking forward to working with these guys. Nigel Bradham, a linebacker, again, a guy that has some athletic ability, some special teams value, a good athlete at linebacker. Really looking forward to having him, a great addition to our roster. And then offensively, Chase Daniel, quarterback, coming in as a backup right now, coming in as a number two. And then Brandon Brooks, who will get in here. Big offensive lineman out of Houston with the Texans, big offensive lineman that is going to give us some great depth, some great exposure there in the offensive line, and really give us some depth. So with that, talk about the quarterback situation. Right now, going forward, Sam Bradford is the number one. Chase Daniel is the number two. And then we're working on the number three. So I just want to put that out there right now, going forward. And I feel like, as head football coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, that we've really given ourselves a great opportunity at that position. It just goes without saying, being a former quarterback, being a backup, in this league, having two guys, we're always going out and we're always going to get the best players at every position. You see what we did right here in free agency these last couple of days. We went out and we found the best players. We signed our current guys, and then we went out and found guys that can be solid starters and or backups on this roster. Excited about that, looking forward to the opportunity of working with these guys. And so with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Do you feel it was necessary to put out one and two of your quarterbacks because of all the chatter that was going on over the last day?
A little bit, but you know what? I also believe that, and I've said this all along, with Sam Bradford, with the opportunity that he has in front of him and what he did last year and where he is currently on our roster as the number one, I felt like that was the best going forward by saying that. And it eliminates any distraction going forward. And now we go out and we play ball from here.
So did you tell Chase that he's competing for the number one job, as had been reported?
We had talked, the last couple of days when we had him in the building here. Talked today. And having a guy like Chase Daniel, who's very familiar with the system that I'm bringing, having an opportunity to compete, having an opportunity to be a solid right now, number two, very fortunate, very fortunate. Just like we had in Kansas City, and I don't like to keep going back to that, but with an Alex Smith and a Chase Daniel, what a great tandem we had. Every confident level, whatever you call it, with the opportunity that we had there, if something were to happen to the starter, that Chase could go in and do the job for us. And I felt that way going forward.
And Chase is the two, and you're looking for a three, as you mentioned. Where does that leave Mark Sanchez?
Well, right now he's still on the roster. Again, that's still part of the evaluation process. He could be the number three, but right now we're just evaluating that position as we do all the positions still going forward.
In the combine, you said you believe, if given the chance, Chase could be a number one starting quarterback in the NFL. What do you see in him that the potential is there?
Well, the one thing that I see, obviously, and what most people don't see, the chance that I had to work with him for 3 years, I see the leadership ability that he has on and off the football field. I see how well he interacts with the players. I've seen what he's done, not only in practice, but in limited game situations. I know in the last couple of years with us, he had a couple starts against San Diego and played extremely well. But I just think he's at a position in his career where given the opportunity and his work ethic puts him in a position to become a starter.
So right now, Sam Bradford is the number one. Does that mean that come training camp, maybe an opinion changes, or are you going into this thing clearly defined as Bradford and then Chase?
Yeah, it's clearly defined right now. You know, nobody makes the roster in April. You know, the one thing that we're going to continue to do, and as long as I'm head football coach here in Philadelphia, is we're going to continue to improve our roster. And, you know, competition, iron sharpens iron. And, you know, at every position, I feel like the quarterback position is not exempt from that. Even though I was a quarterback in this league, I just think you have to create opportunities for your guys to compete against one another, OTAs, training camp, regular season, and you're going to put the best 11 on the field.
Doug, you have Sam has a week before he gets a bonus. Does that allow you some time to take offers for him?
Sam's our number one. We're not entertaining any offers.
So he's not going to be traded.
No, Sam's our number one. Yeah.
I know you said when Sam got re-signed that you were very vocal in getting him back. How vocal were you about wanting Chase here?
You know, I was vocal. I feel it's important to have two quality quarterbacks in the National Football League. You know, right now with the nature of the game and the style of defenses that we see day in and day out, you know, I don't as a head coach, I don't ever want to put myself in a position where you don't have two solid quarterbacks. And so it was very important for me, not only number one to get Sam signed, but then to go out and find a number two, and Chase was that guy.
From your perspective, why was DeMarco Murray traded?
From my perspective? You know, everybody has an opportunity in this league. I had an opportunity when I was a player to become a free agent. You know, obviously it was a trade situation with him. You know, the talks really began to escalate at the combine. You know, everybody's in one location. Things began, people had interest in him. And felt like it was an opportunity for him if he wanted to continue his career to move on and help another organization that I wasn't going to stand in his way of you know allowing him to go somewhere and play.
A player with his portfolio wouldn't seem that you're moving up 13 spots in the fourth round. I mean, did he not at all fit what you wanted to do offensively?
No, he fit. He fit. But again, I'm not gonna stand if a guy, it was well documented. I came out and said that I wanted him. You know, early in the spring, I felt like we had three dynamic running backs. You know, and then there was talk that he didn't want to be here. And then there was talk that he wanted to be here. So to help a guy, and then when people at the combine, coaches and GMs and everybody's there at the combine, and people are interested in certain players. You know, I can't deny the fact that, hey, if he wants an opportunity to go, then let's see where the talks go. And, you know, Tennessee was a place where a good fit for him, and, you know, that's where he landed. So, you know, I'm excited for him, and, you know, that's where we're at.
If you wanted him here and you thought he'd fit your offense, why didn't you reach out to him and try to convince him to
stay? I talked to him earlier in the spring. I reached out, said hello, did my – you know, as I did with a lot of guys on the roster, and that was the last time I spoke to him.
Why do you think he didn't
want
to be here?
I'd have to ask him.
Did he express that to the team?
No, not at all.
Well, with Bradford, you made it a point to let him know that you wanted him here, but it was just the kind of the one talk with Murray. Did you see those as two kind of different situations?
Quarterback's the face of your franchise, and I'm not diminishing any other position on this football team. The quarterback is the key to the kingdom. I played the position. I've been around some great Hall of Fame quarterbacks in my career. A great one just won the Super Bowl. So I felt that it was in our best interest to be up front and foremost with that position.
Chase being brought in, you having experience with him, and then some Bills players from Jim Schwartz's time in Buffalo, how important has the, you guys have used the word collaboration, been between the coaches and Howie in getting players that
it's been great.
It really has. That communication has been, you know, that open door policy. The communication has been very high. We've been able to bounce a lot of ideas off each other in the last few days, building up to free agency. And you know, I just think that the respect that Jim has in the National Football League, the respect that I have for him and the players he's coached, then plus my evaluation, Howie's evaluation, you know, really open the door to have those guys come to us.
Doug, at what point in your tenure in Kansas City did you and Chase start to kind of form this connection that you seem to have? Or did you, you know, how did it come to be? I mean, it, you can connect with a lot of, you know, a couple of, maybe another quarterback, maybe Alex in this regard. Why Chase?
I think it started right away initially when we got him. You know, we got him. And you know, being a former backup quarterback, you tend to kind of draw yourself to those types of people. And he and I we clicked right away. There's a lot of great communication right away. I saw a lot of myself in Chase Daniel as a backup to Alex Smith when you know my time in Green Bay and places like that. So you know, it was just a relationship that kept building over time and something that now we can continue here.
What about the fact that, like, Chase has only made two starts in his career as opposed to the last 2 years, Sanchez has started 10 games because, you know, Bradford or Nick Foles got hurt and stuff. I mean, how confident are you if the need arises, which it's shown it probably will, that he can step in and do the job?
Confidence level is extremely high. You know, and the thing is that I think that people – And it's hard to explain unless you've been around somebody for 3 years like I have, that you have that trust and that confidence in an individual. And that's the level of trust that I have in Chase Daniel and the confidence that I have in him. And if for whatever reason he has an opportunity to go into a football game, then we know that he can act and play just like a starter, because that's where he is in my mind. So, you know, it's a good confidence to have. In this league, it's a comfort to have two solid quarterbacks.
Why drop off? I mean, in your view, because you said before that you know him better than we think of him one way, you think of him another way. What do you believe is the drop off from Sam Bradford, who you claimed as your number one, and Chase Daniel?
I don't think there's necessarily a drop off as much as there is that what Sam has proven here. Over the course of last season and what he's done with this football team. I don't think there isn't a drop-off. The one thing that Chase has maybe over Sam is that his understanding of the terminology in the offense that I'm bringing to Philadelphia. So, you know, it's a different skill set, you know. Sam is a big, taller, dynamic, you know, good thrower. Chase is athletic, got a good arm, can move, can scramble, good vision. You know, so there's two different dynamics there. And both of those are very effective in what we're going to do.
What do you like about Brandon Brooks?
Man, I tell you what, big, strong, athletic, road grader type, nasty mentality, demeanor. Guy that can get out on the perimeter and run. He's smart. You know, all the things that you look for in a guard that we need, you know, right now on this offensive line, a leader, a guy that's got a lot of games under his belt. So, you know, going to be a good fit for our line.
Do you lean towards having interior linemen that are, I mean, 6'5", 340 pounds? Do you lean towards having bigger guys?
Well, you know, I guess the prototype wouldn't say 6'5", but you know what? You take the best available, and he was the best available. He was the number one guy that we targeted in free agency at offensive line, and we were able to get him. Sometimes you can't control how big a guy is. You know, the Lord blessed us with different heights and weights, and you know, we use them to our best of our ability. So,
what size would be the prototype for that?
You're looking at 6'3", 6'4", possibly in that area, 6'2". You know, the weight is fine. You want those guys that can, and for guys that are that big, to be able to move like he moves is a plus, because we're going to ask our guys to get out on the perimeter, much like you saw with the offensive line here the last couple of years.
Which side of the line would play, left, right, or
going in is right side?
You mentioned the respect you have for Jim. It looks like you had a pretty significant say or a voice in some of the defensive players you acquired. That indication of the respect you guys have for him?
Yeah, and again, it goes back not only to the respect, but the open dialogue and communication that we had from day one. You know, these players also, you know, had a chance to visit with them today, last night, that they wanted to be here, you know, and they respect Coach Schwartz. And that says a lot, too, when players respect coaches that way and want to be somewhere. But our communication from day one has been that, has been open, and that's what you got to have to be successful.
Role with Sproles and Matthews in the backfield now, or do you feel that position that needs more bodies?
Well, Yeah, I mean, you can play with the two guys that you have. We also got some young guys also on the roster, and you're still going to look whether you still got some free agency left. You still got opportunities possibly in the draft coming up next month, and you're going to need a few more bodies at that position. But going forward, if you play with two the entire season, it might be a little thin. You'd have to get some depth there.
Same thing, the development of the three core receivers you have. Will you supplement through free agency, do you think, still?
Or still a possibility of doing that. Obviously, we're happy right now where we are currently today. The draft is coming up. That's a big evaluation process. We got three tremendous tight ends on the roster, four really, tight ends. Are all going to compete for that. For those roster spots there, and with the three young receivers that we have, feel like we can be as dynamic of an offense, in the National Football League.
Are you a little bit young
throughout this process?
This process,
the free agent process, signing Chase Daniel, the same thing you told us. Did you tell Sam that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the wideout position, you're pretty young. You don't want to be more experienced there through free agency. Is that not a priority?
Experience goes a long way. I think too at that position, we weren't real veteran savvy in Kansas City. We were youthful there as well. Of course, we did bring in Jeremy, who gave us that experience. But you can teach guys how to run routes, and it's the ability of the quarterback to get them the football. But the more these young guys play, the more experience they're going to gain. And so the experience factor at that position, would you like to have a more senior guy in the room that kind of knows the ins and outs of the position possibly, but I don't put the whole weight of, what we do offensively on that experience, particularly, at that position.
Moving up five spots in the first round, does that change the team's thinking or philosophy any as to what sort of player you're looking at or how valuable is that?
Well, it's valuable. Anytime you can get in the top 10, I think it's tremendous, especially in the first round, obviously, and, gives you definitely some options. There's a lot of great players this year coming out, so I think just being in that spot and then with the free agent guys that we've brought in, signing our own guys puts us in a pretty good position.
Was it your preference to move up in the first round over getting a standalone pick back?
Of course, Howie does a great job with all that, and he looks at the boards and the guys you have currently on your roster. But being in a position to do it and it work out like it did, I'm happy for both sides, and we're just thrilled to be in the top 10 now.
Well, can you talk a little about the lines of communication between you and Howie and how you proceeded through free agency? Was it something? I mean, your offices now near each other, and what happens during the course of these 24 years?
About four doors away. So we have to yell a lot down the hall. But, no, the communication, has been me walking to his office, him walking to my office, going over our roster, constantly going over the roster, going over the draft boards, looking at the guys that we did sign in free agency. So that communication has been very, very well received, over the past month and really since I've been here. And something that will continue now on through this draft process.